is an Instagram post from someone. Okay, joy is a noun that means gladness based not on circumstance. Joy is a very deep word. We often compare it or confuse it with happiness, but there is a significant difference between the two. Happiness is fleeting. It's an external feeling based on small moments. Joy is much more powerful, especially when used in the Bible. It has to do with our internal nature as human beings. It is not an emotion or a feeling. It's an attitude. It's a choice. In Psalm 16:11, it says, "You make known to me the path of life." In fact, Joe, if you put up Psalm 16:11, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Each of us has the opportunity to have joy, to be joyful. We just have to have the right attitude to fully grasp it. We have to go to the right place to attain it, the presence of God. So I just wanted to let you know, don't confuse happiness and joy. Happiness is temporary because it's based on current pleasures and/or experiences. Joy lasts because it's from God. I pray that you all experience the fullness of joy from God no matter the circumstances, on both rainy days and under blue skies, surrounded by friends or when you're alone. When you're on top of the world or completely in the dumps, joy is a choice. It's selfless. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So, joy, Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness." And it goes into, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. You probably heard this before, but you don't see a tree straining to produce fruit. The tree is connected to the ground. And as it is connected, just as we connected to the vine, produce much fruit, Jesus said. Fruit is through connection of the Holy Spirit. As we walk with the Holy Spirit, He produces joy in us. It's something that grows because He, the Holy Spirit, has joy. As we focus our attention on Him, we can have joy even in the midst of difficult circumstances. 2 Corinthians 6:10, Paul wrote through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing." That seems, you know, like a paradox. But the truth is, even in the midst of sorrowful situations, we can choose to have joy because we focus our attention not on the emotion, but on the one whose presence gives us fullness of joy. But like that Instagram post said, you have to go to the presence of the Lord. If you just, "Well, I'm a Christian and God's not giving me any joy. I just have hard days every day and my life is terrible," and you know, I mean, that you're not going to have joy. You have to go to the presence of the Lord, focus your attention on Him, and your joy comes from Him. Put up that first slide, Joe, real quick. Emotions come in waves. If you've ever been to the beach and gotten caught in a rip current or just gotten caught right where the waves are breaking, and it's just like wave after wave, and you start to feel like you're going to drown, emotions can be like that. But if you put up the next one, Joe, God can teach you to surf the waves. Okay? He never promised that we would not have waves in our life. He never promised that we wouldn't feel sadness or struggle with things in the world. In fact, the Bible says be anxious for nothing because He knew we would struggle with being anxious. But He said, told us how to deal with that by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So, He can teach us overwhelming waves. We can choose even in the midst of sorrow to focus on Him, to be in His presence and find joy in His presence. The reason, Jesus knows how to walk on the water. He did it with the disciples. So He can teach us how to surf the waves. But it's a choice. Romans 12 says, rejoicing in hope. So we have to focus on our hope. Okay, number two, pray without ceasing. If you put up Ephesians 6:18, if you don't mind, put it up in the New Living Translation. This scripture says, pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So this says, I had it written out in three different types, but we're not going to do that. So pray in the Spirit at all times and in every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent. So we read, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, and it's on the front of the bulletin because we're going to be talking about this month. Pray without ceasing. I used to think, I mean, that's just not possible. Like, you can't pray all the time. So I just kind of threw that scripture, kind of set it aside like one of those unattainable things that I could never do. But what I have learned is that prayer looks very different. And if you will learn to stay in conversation with God all day, the way that we do that is not mean that I'm at the altar praying 24 hours a day. It means that when I'm dealing with a situation with my child, I am praying, God, show me how to handle this. When I'm at work, I'm praying, God, allow me to speak your words. You know, it means that I am just in conversation, that when something happens and I'm eating my food, I say, thank you, God, for providing this food. You know, throughout the day, that when I am overwhelmed, listen, the Holy Spirit is my counselor. When I am overwhelmed and I feel inadequate with raising my children or with pastoring or with any, I go to God and I say, God, I don't know how to do this. I need your wisdom. I need you to show me what to do. So a conversation, praying without ceasing, looks like all of these things. When you realize you miss it and you're driving and you just, you know, gave somebody the wrong finger while you were driving, because I'm sure none of you ever do that. But if you do and you need to repent, you don't have to wait until you come to the altar, obviously. Pray right there. Say, God, I am sorry. That was not a representation of you, Lord Jesus. Please forgive me. That's how we pray all day. So, multiple types of conversations. And then the last one, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We can give thanks to God and focus our attention on Him in everything, realizing that He can be glorified in the midst of every situation. Now, this is where, did everybody get a piece of candy? If you didn't, okay, if you didn't get a piece of candy, then grab one. Okay, now, those of you that got a crybaby, did either of you get a crybaby? Okay, those of you that got a crybaby, if you have never eaten a crybaby, okay, it is quite an experience. Like, you cannot eat it without making a face because it's just terrible. Now, I want to point that out because the Bible says in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So, it also says, and let's see, Philippians 2, will you put that up in Philippians 2, 14 and 15? It says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless, harmless children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now, if we complain, we are like crybabies. Like, it changes the whole climate. That changed the whole climate of my mouth and my face. And when we begin to complain, we change the climate around us. That's why one complainer in the car, in the situation, can, in the, you know, in whatever it is, can begin to change the whole mindset of everybody. We have massive influence with our words. So, be careful. The Bible says do all things. That means even hard things. That means even annoying things. That means even be around annoying people without complaining. Now, you can state a fact if you need to, but that can get real muddy. Like, I'm just stating the facts, you know. I mean, be careful. If you realize that you're complaining, then repent. But now, everybody that you got a candy, eat your candy right now. I want you to remember, I want you to connect this. Because when you eat a candy, it's sweet and it changes how you feel and you're like, oh, this is so nice and it's so lovely. The Bible says in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This candy is, and these candies are refreshing. They're very yummy. I'm not going to eat it right now because then I'll have to, you know, but when you eat a candy, it's like, oh, it just changes you for just a minute, you know, for like while you're eating it. That is what Thanksgiving does. It changes the climate of where you are. And we have that opportunity to change the climates. The Bible says we'll give an account of every idle word that we speak. So let's make sure that we're Andy's candies and not crybabies in the situations. Like, we don't want to change the climate where people are going, oh yeah, I don't want to be here and I don't want to do that. And those people are annoying and I wish they wouldn't have done it that way. You know, instead, we want to cause people to recognize God, that God is faithful, and see that there's hope in the midst of a situation. So we are going to get ready for this baptism. I want to end with Matthew 19:14. Says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I asked the Lord this past week, I was like, it's interesting because other scripture says out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So I was like, but this says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. That's because it works both ways. Have you ever noticed what you're talking about is what you end up thinking about, is what you're meditating on. And what is in your heart often comes out of your mouth. So we need to be careful with both, is my point. When you start complaining or you start saying a bunch of negative things, that's what gets in your heart. But also, if you are praising God in your heart and you are keeping a straight attitude, it's going to come out of your mouth. So we need to work on both.